I don't know if any of you are boxing fans. I've got to say that boxing has never been a sport that has deeply excited me. But I do remember as a child occasionally seeing it on TV, because on Saturday afternoons I would be sitting waiting for Doctor Who to come on. And before Doctor Who, it was the sports programme, whatever that was called. What was that called on BBC?
Grandstand,
thank you. There was nothing else to watch, because we only had three channels in those days, the good old days. So I was watching this, and sometimes in between the sports results, as the football results as they came in, they would show boxing. There was one thing that struck me as being a bit odd about boxing. Whenever I saw it or heard about boxers, it seemed that the people who won boxing matches always won. I don't mean that they cheated or anything. It's simply that the commentators would say things like, "This lad hasn't lost a fight in the 3 years that he's been doing competitions." Or for the really big matches, the champ would come into the ring and be announced as the undefeated champion of the world. I've got to say, I wouldn't argue with him if he said he was the undefeated champion of the world. But that is quite something to live up to, isn't it? By contrast, we've been watching the Olympics over the last few weeks, and of course, it's been really exciting to see so many British medal winners. But what I often find really moving is the reaction of the people who didn't win. People who failed to get gold, maybe had to settle for silver or bronze, or maybe didn't even get to the podium at all. Years of training and preparation, and at the end of it, they all felt that they had failed. Now, the thing is, of course, that all of us have known times like that of defeat, maybe not after competing in some huge prestigious sporting event, but defeat in the area of dreams unfulfilled, of potential unreached, or of hopes unattained. And for many of us, our sense of security and self-worth and significance end up blurred and damaged because of that sense of defeat. We define ourselves based on our achievements and successes and failures and defeats. But the Bible gives us a very different picture. The Bible talks about the remarkable relationship between God and his creation as a relationship of hope and of optimism and potential. It talks about how God not only knows us, but loves us. How he forgives error, stretches out purpose, and defines significance, not in what we have done, but in the fact that we have been created in his own image. This is the God who knows us. This is the God who says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and hope." This is the God who says, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." God knows our real identity, and it's in him. We've been made in God's image. Now, here's the thing for us today. As we switch our focus from the Olympics to the Paralympics, that gives us a chance to think about this in maybe a new way. If we have been made in the image of God, then what might it mean, for example, to state that a person with no legs, or with cerebral palsy, or with Down syndrome has been made in the image of God, exactly as they are? What kind of image of God does a question like that force us to come to? what might it mean to suggest that people with disabilities are fully in God's image just as they are? It's very easy to look at the incredible athletes of the Olympics and feel a degree of pride in what humans can do. And we begin to turn the whole thing around so that we create God in our image. I am strong, so God must be stronger. I am rational and reasonable, so God must be like me, only much more rational and reasonable. I am reasonably good looking, so God must look a little like me, only much more beautiful. And so when we think about God, we often end up with simply a slightly bigger and better picture of ourselves. When that happens, those who are perceived as different from ourselves, whether they're people with disabilities or other different people, can only look as if they are in some way or another not quite in God's image. But of course, what that really means, what we really mean by that, is that they're not quite in our image. And that's simply putting it back to front and upside down. It's yet another example of why we so often look in the Bible and see things that seem to be strange and the wrong way around. Where the weak becomes strong. Where the brokenness of a human body becomes the place where God presents hope and victory and salvation. That's not upside down. It's that our ideas were upside down in the first place. Recently I heard an interview with a woman who is completely deaf. And she was asked what her vision of heaven would be. And she said that for her, heaven is a place where she will meet Jesus, and she just knows that his signing will be perfect. Her vision of being human is not that she is rid of her deafness, but rather that others are rid of the communicational barriers that prevent them from being with her in meaningful ways. Now, we might say, heaven is a place where our bodies will be made perfect. But then we've got to ask the question, well, okay, so what is perfect? And who gets to define it? After Jesus had been brought back from death to life, he came and stood with his disciples. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. The resurrected Jesus still carried his wounds. Now, if perfection and the life of heaven is marked by what culture teaches us is perfection, then why does Jesus still carry his wounds? These are scars that speak of sacrifice, that cry aloud, undefeated champion. Disability is just one more way of being human before God. Disability is simply a variation on a common theme. There is nothing within disability that should separate us from one another. It's not our bodies or our intellects or our capacities that make us acceptable to God. None of those things makes us human. It is God's unending love for each human person that creates and sustains us in our humanness. So caring for disabled people is not about charity or pity. It's about justice. It's about making sure that every human being made in God's image has access to the fullness of life that is the birthright of every man, woman, and child. And we all have a part to play in that. We all have a role. We are called not to forget, to not let go of those who most need our care. In a moment, we're all going to have a chance to add our voices to the Undefeated Project campaign that aims to give opportunity and justice to many more disabled people across the world. We must not miss our opportunity to take part in that campaign if we are to take seriously our responsibility to those millions in our world with a disability, for whom hope and opportunity are a distant dream. And more than that, as those created in God's image, we are to reflect His glory. Whatever we look like, wherever we live, this God invites us to come and be with Him. The invitation to all stands, and He will not let you go.